Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another edition of Question and Answer. I'm the host to the program, and we are here again with our special guest, Hujjat al-Islam Barati. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right. As the name suggests, the name of our program suggests, well, we have some questions here. Actually, we get them from our fans. Well, they contact us, so this is a good opportunity for me, in fact, to tell you you can reach us by visiting our website, www.radiomaarif.ir, or you can also call us at 0098-251-291-0551, or the local number again, 291-0552. Well, the first question that I have to refer to immediately is about ghosts. You know, some people, in fact, believe in the existence of ghosts. They believe that, for example, they have seen, some kind of an entity with, I don't know, this is really famous among lots of people. They believe that, for example, there is an entity with a white sheet, you know, something like that, trying to scare people away. Well, these sort of things are somehow common. I don't know whether we can call it superstition or whatsoever it is, but some people believe in it. But what about the Muslims? Do Muslims believe in the presence of ghosts?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The ghost in this definition you presented here is not acceptable in Islam.
Yes.
Because Islam believes in two aspects of existence for human being. One is body and physical existence.
Yes.
And the second one is spiritual and soul.
Yes.
Which is accepted in Holy Quran, and the idiom and expression for it in Islam is nafs.
Right.
And even it is sacred, it is respectable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by it on it and says, "Wa nafsin wama sawaha."
Yes.
I swear to the soul and the one who created it and completed it.
Right.
So the existence of human being is different from existence of other beings, even animals.
See.
Because human being has other potentialities, abilities, talents, and bestowments from Allah that makes it the higher and the most qualified existence in this world. Even you cannot find better existence than human being.
Right.
And in Islam, in Islamic ideology and creeds and dogma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the whole world, planets, glacials, animals, plants, everything to be at service of this existence, human being.
Mm-hmm. For the same use.
Yeah. Why human being is so precious and so respectable, honorable? Because of his soul.
Uh-huh.
Because the physic of body is very close to other beings.
Uh-huh.
Even monkeys have the same physic and body with human being.
Right.
What makes human being different from others?
What's so special about human beings?
If I want to talk in a more understandable language, who made all of these technologies and sciences and knowledges, developments, civilization? Human being. But what was the difference between human being and others who made this existence able for all of these achievements?
Yes.
This is soul.
Yes.
Mentality, intellect,
right.
And this part of existence of human being is not visible, is invisible.
Right.
It is understood only by intellect, by al-aql, as Islam says.
Right.
So soul, in this meaning, is acceptable in Islam, is recognized in Islam.
Good.
But this meaning of soul is so different from the meaning that some ignorant people or some people who are not really believers, they promote.
Right.
As there is something like ghost and maybe frightens some people and maybe is witnessed in a white sheet and like this, and people have to escape from it, especially some youngsters or women or girls, they are frightened by this.
Yeah.
These are not true at all. Islam yes. doesn't. Even if there is a soul, this is the same soul which was existing in the time of life of a human being. So a dead person has no other possibility and ability than what he had or she had in his life. So the soul, yes, remains. The soul continues life after the death of body.
Right.
And we believe in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in the after-death life, which is barzakh or resurrection,
yes.
qiyamah, and this soul would be permanent and would have eternity,
right.
eternal life.
Right.
But this is another meaning, so much different from what is told mm-hmm. by some ordinary people or some uneducated people.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's
they
it.
Are different.
That's it.
يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا
Well, the next question that I can shift immediately to is about the place where God is. Hmm. Where is the place of God? Where is the residence of God?
Okay. God is nowhere and is everywhere.
Yes.
And it refers to the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is not like other materials.
Right.
No materialistic existences, they have to have a place, a location. Location is necessary for all of the materials, all of the things you can measure them. You can say how much is their weight, how much is their capacity, how
yes.
much is their length and width. So for sure, they have to have a location.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be somewhere.
Yes.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a different nature. He is not visible. He is not a material. He is not confined. He has no limits, no dimensions. Because of that, this question does not, for example, have sense for him.
Uh-huh.
Has no sense for this question. Because, like, for example, can you ask where is our intellect? Or where is technology? Or where is science?
Uh-huh.
Something cannot be qualified or specified by this kind of attributes.
Are you suggesting God is something like an abstract noun? Like, actually, you mentioned philosophy, technology, things like this and that, you know. And is it just like that? I mean, can we...
No. For a kind of comparison or a kind of making, for example, similarity in
yes,
this regard.
Analogy, yes.
No, God is an existence which has omnipotence,
uh-huh.
omnipresence,
right.
omniscience.
Right.
Omnipresence means that God is everywhere.
That's it.
What is the meaning of being everywhere? Everywhere, the presence of God is, for example, clear. God knows everything everywhere. God can, for example, do function everywhere.
Right.
By this meaning, God is everywhere. No place is empty of God, empty of his presence and his power and his science and his existence. But where is God? You mean, could be God confined in one room or one house or one place or one continent or one planet? No, because God is not
place bound.
Yes, a material or, for example, subject
uh-huh.
that you can put it in a place. So if you ask, where is he, you mean, is he attending here? Is he present here?
Uh-huh.
Can he, for example, function here, operate here? Yes, everywhere God is existing.
Right.
Especially in mind of faithful people, God is present.
Uh-huh.
But where is God confined? Where can I, for example, limit God and put him in a place in a way that he is not in other places?
Uh-huh.
Only he is there. This is not possible for God. This kind of attribute and specification is not possible for God even.
Uh-huh.
If you can confine something in a place, this is not God.
Right.
You should look for God in other.
Elsewhere.
Yeah.
All right. What about time?
Also time.
Uh-huh.
Because he has created time. He has created place and location. So these are his creations.
Uh-huh.
These could not contain him. He is not under them. He is above them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, so the next question, now that we are dealing with the issue with the, let's say, presence and existence of God, let me put another question, which is related to the existence of God, specifically speaking. How can I be sure that God exists?
Uh-huh.
How do we prove the existence of God?
Okay. How you become sure that other things exist? How you normally become sure that something exists?
Uh-huh.
For example, they tell you that there is a city, a very big and large city. Its name is New York, for example, mm-hmm. or London.
Right.
Do you believe it or not?
Of course, after experience it in one way or another, like, for example, when you see the picture, when you, I don't know, hear about that, you know, from trustworthy
people. Before watching the picture, right. You don't believe in this city? When they say there is a place named Japan, or a city
right.
named Tokyo, or uh-huh. Shanghai, or Beijing, or you believe.
Yes.
It is. There are different ways to believe in something, to be sure that something exists.
Uh-huh.
So, one of them is hearing from knowledgeable people, reliable people. Another one is to find the products of it,
uh-huh.
or different ways, reading in books, maybe sometime argumentation about it, sometimes
right.
experiencing, witnessing. So you have numerous ways to be sure that God exists.
Right.
You have to test them.
Uh-huh.
One of them is your creation and creation of the world.
Right.
So how you can know that here the heater is working, for example, in this room? How you can understand? You have numerous ways. One of them is that this room is hot now. There is no cold here.
Uh-huh.
So something made it hot. So there is a, for example, a set or there is a device makes this room hot.
Right.
Or if it is cold, something made it cold.
Mm.
So
right.
this creation and your existence especially is the best proof for existence of Allah. Because
right.
do you exist now? Are you sure that you exist? Yes, I'm sure I exist.
Right.
So who made you? Quran says, أَمْ خُلَقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ
right.
It is simple.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that you have a God, you have a creator. Now you exist. Did you create yourself? It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Or somebody else created you. Or you are creator of other things. There is no way but these three
right.
ways.
Uh-huh.
You exist.
Right.
The listener exists.
Right.
So he made the question. He is the interrogator and the one who questioned. So if he exists, for sure there should be a cause for his existence. He himself could not be the cause. And it is impossible he come to the existence without a cause.
Right.
So it is sure that something caused him to exist. This is God. That's enough.
All right. You know, you actually gave us some examples and comparisons. The analogy you made or you drew was something like the creation or the creatures which are available on our planet, for example, or some other places in the universe, whatsoever it is, well, we can experience it or through the five senses we got open or available to ourselves. Okay, I do have a sense of touch, then I touch something, for example, and then I gain and obtain this kind of experience that this object exists. But yes, I know that I do exist, and you exist, this desk exists, or this microphone that I'm talking to exists. So, I can sense it with one of the senses I got, you know? But how can I attribute the creator, which is God, to this kind of creation that I see and experience through the senses?
This is what I exactly meant, because for example, you believe in many things. Some of them you don't see, you don't watch, you don't feel them by your five senses.
Right.
I bring for you one example, and you will accept this. Have you seen airplanes?
Yes.
For example, one Boeing airplane.
Uh-huh, yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes, actually, because I've been on a plane, so I've had direct experience of it, you know.
Do you believe in existence of that plane?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay. The second question, do you believe in the factory manufactured this airplane?
Yes, of course.
How? You didn't visit the factory?
Yes, that's
but
it.
But you believe in it?
Yeah, you're right.
Existence of God is like this. When you see the creatures, as you told, you believe in the creator.
Right.
So easy.
Uh-huh. That's it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. The next question is that, so there was a time that God created the world. Yes, we know that God himself is not bound or limited and confined by time, nor is he limited by, let's say, the concept of place. So there was a time that he started creating the world or the universe. But what the question is, what had God been doing before creating the universe?
Mm-hmm. Here, this is my turn to ask you. Before,
all right.
Here, you mean before by time or before by...
Creating the world.
By, for example, what do you call it? For example, the great,
yes,
or the subsequent.
Okay.
If you mean by time before,
mm-hmm,
before creating the world, God was creating the world.
Right.
But another world.
Uh-huh.
So the creator never stopped creating.
Uh-huh.
But the creation at that time was for another creature, another world.
Uh-huh.
This is if you ask before you mean time. If you mean subsequence, God also was creator.
Right.
But he had the ability.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to show the ability. He
right.
created the,
uh-huh,
the world. So before has two meanings.
Okay.
Before of time, before of subsequence. Before of time, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before create this world, was creating another world.
Uh-huh.
But if you mean before of great and subsequent, before creating this, was a creator without creation. So he has the ability and he has the power and he has the option.
Uh-huh.
Option means that he can stop creating,
uh-huh,
he can continue creating. If only he has this ability to continue creation and has no ability to stop creation, means he is not omnipotent.
Uh-huh.
He has no, for example, free will.
Uh-huh.
No, he had this free will. But sometimes he created this, sometimes created that. Before creating this, was creating another world.
Right.
And, you know, scientists now say that this present world and present order,
yes,
preceded by other orders and other worlds. Like, for example, Earth planet,
uh-huh,
now has a figure, has a situation, continents, seas, oceans. But before this, for millions of years, there was another situation. There was another graphic and another geography of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
Maybe seas and oceans are in another place, continents are in another shape.
Right.
The type of animals and plants were different. And also for another period of millions of years was also another figure and another shape and another graphic. So in all of these periods and the stages, the creator is creator and is creating. But in other works, this is a Quranic verse
right.
that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never stops creating and managing the world. For example, endless and without a stop, non-stop.
Right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating and is managing the world.
But, you know, logically, there's another question which just crossed my mind, actually in parentheses, if you allow me. Well, you know, logically or according to the senses we have, well, we understand that or we realize that a cause without its effect cannot be called a cause anymore.
Yes, this is true. If the cause is without option and potation, but if he is or she, it is potential, it is optional, can stop.
Yes.
Like you can stop talking, you can continue talking. This means that you have free will and you have option.
Right.
But how we can understand you have option means that you sometimes choose this, sometimes choose that.
Right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can stop, can create. Both of them are his actions, stopping and continuing.
Right. Good. Thank you very much for that.
رسول الله محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله علي ولي الله علي ولي الله علي ولي
Well, the next question is, you know, we have different terms for one same object, one same entity, like God. For example, the God of, let's say, the Hebrews is called Yahweh in the Bible, and the God of Muslims and let's say, Islam is Allah. Okay. Why do we have so many, let's say, technical or different technical terms for the same entity, for the same concept? Why do we have so many differences here or varieties?
That's because
aren't they the same?
Yes, that's because of the languages and cultures and religions. People, they have different languages, and these languages are from different roots. Now, linguistic sciences and philology and other different sciences related to the languages are so much developed. Every group of languages come to a root.
Right.
And they are derived from one branch of ethnic groups and from races. So one of the causes for for example, numerity and numerous names of God is languages. Another one is religions. Also, among the races, there are different religions. Different religions choose different names for God. Okay, then we come to the meaning and concept. Are they all sharing one concept, one meaning? No, they are different. They don't imagine God in one shape and in one method. They have different methods. For example, Yahweh in Torah and God the Father in Christianity and Allah in Islam, they are attributed by different attributions. So we have to study them and to make a comparative study between them. This is needed, really. Scientists and theologians are invited to sit and discuss about the concept of God in Judaism, in Christianity, and in Islam. And sometimes some people had claimed some false ideas and some false sayings that Allah is, for example, in Islam, more tough and violent than in Christianity and in Judaism. These are not true, because they never were experts, or some of them never were sincere to this. Uh-huh. So we need scientific research and comparative research based on the texts and scriptures of the three famous religions in this regard. Right. Also, comparing with other religions like Asian religions, ancient religions, and so on and so. So which one of them has a better and more complete concept of God and a more just and fair concept of God? This is necessary and needed. Yeah. They only have done some simple philology researches, dictionaries, and, for example, collected names of God in different languages. Yeah. But they need deeper research and investigations in this regard.
As you know, in the field of translation studies, some experts believe that it is wrong or incorrect, let's say, to translate these technical terms into each other's languages. For example, maybe the God of Judaism is the same God as, like, let's say, of the Quran and Islam. But, you know, they base their opinions when they say so. They say that we cannot translate, for example, God into Allah, and Allah has to be reserved in the translation as itself, and has to be translated just like that. I mean, Allah itself, not God. Well, and correspondingly, the same way from Arabic into English when they are translating Allah into God. So some experts say that this is wrong, and they base their opinions on their comparative research, as you mentioned, well, on the fact that in the Bible, we know that they believe God is as the Father, and Jesus is the Son of God. And we have in the Holy Quran that says that, well, God cannot have a son. And it's mentioned directly, and it's stated explicitly there. So how can we actually liken this God to the other God? How can we know that these gods are the same?
I can say that there are two aspects of study. One is a subjective study, and another one is objective study.
Right.
In objective study, there is one God only.
Yes.
But the difference is in people's concept and people's, for example, perception and people's understanding and people's opinions and so and so.
Yes.
So all of them refer to this one God. Mm-hmm. There is no more than one God.
Yes.
All of them refer to him. But the knowledges are different. How they know God? We can say that this is dogmas, and these are dogmas and creeds and beliefs which are different.
Yes.
So this is mentioned in one tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, the sixth Imam of Shia and the grandson of Prophet, peace be upon him. He told that everybody tries to attribute and to specify God according to his knowledge, mm-hmm. to his culture,
right.
to his level of knowledge. And even the, for example, animals, they try to, for example, specify God or qualify God by their own qualities, like insects.
Uh-huh.
Some insects, they think that God has two horns, like they have two horns.
Uh-huh.
So yes, there are differences. But these differences are because of different cultures and understandings and knowledges. And these knowledges, none of them are complete.
Uh-huh.
In Islam, you can find the best and the most complete introduction of God.
Right.
Presentation of God. Concept of God. Knowledge about God. Theology. Real theology and complete theology. The most advanced and enhanced knowledge about God you can find in Islam.
I see. Okay,
but no problem in names. You can say God or Allah or if they refer to one thing.
Uh-huh.
They have different names for one thing you told in the beginning of your
question. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
They are actually referring to the same concept. We know that, yes, of course. Yeah, lots of these concepts coincide. Well, the next question, which is, again, related to the concept of God, is that in the Quran, God wants the nation of Israel or Israelites destroyed. Well, but the God of the Bible wants Israel preserved. And he has done it up to now, as we all know. Well, how do we understand these gods do not contradict each other, you know? Well, the God of the Quran contradicts the God of the Bible here. Which God is telling the truth? Certainly and logically, we know that one of these ideas must be wrong, and one of these gods must be a liar. How do we understand which God is actually telling the truth? If one says
the question itself is not true, because it does not refer to the real fact existing in both scriptures,
uh-huh.
that both of them accept that, you mean state of Israel, yeah?
Yes.
Government of Israel, state of Israel. State of Israel comes to emergence and existence two times in the whole history of human being.
Right.
Two times,
uh-huh.
we find this state, national state of Jews and Israelis, two times emergence and two times collapse.
Right.
It is mentioned in Torah and also mentioned in Quran.
Right.
And there is a chapter in Quran, you can find it in the beginning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we told your prophets to tell you in Israel nation, mm-hmm. and now we are telling you in Quran by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you have two states in the history. And when you complete and make this state in climax, you do tyranny, aggression, and suppression to other nations and other people.
Uh-huh.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you some powerful servants of him to make this government and this state collapse.
Uh-huh.
The same promise is existing in Quran and in Torah without any difference. But, you know, they are looking to it from Israeli eyes and we are looking to it from Muslim eyes.
Right.
But the promise is one.
Uh-huh.
No difference, no contradiction between the promise mentioned in Torah and the promise mentioned in Quran.
Right.
The promise is that two times you find a state of Israel.
Right.
And in the both times, first of all, they come, gather here, make this state. But this state has not a type of justice,
uh-huh.
a type of mercy,
right.
a type of, for example, sympathy to other nations.
Okay.
It is a racial and an injustice government.
Right.
And because of that, it collapses.
Uh-huh.
In the first time and in the second time.
Right.
Who make it to collapse? Some powerful servants of God, some powerful nations and troops come
and
fight
the
them
one.
And overthrow this government.
Right.
Two times.
Right.
And it is in the same manner existing in Quran and existing in Torah. What is the difference? What is the contradiction? We don't find any contradiction.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you very much. So there are a lot to talk about, but we are pushed by the time. So let me remind our dear listeners here. Our phone number is 0098-251-291-0551, or you can also change the last digit to 2. Well, you can also email us by sending your email to the following email address: Radio Ma'arif, E-N, all at one word, at irib.ir. Thank you for listening to us. I'm Muhammad Jawad Muafi for Radio Ma'arif, the name of our program, Question and Answer. Thank you very much. Have a nice time. Allah
الله سبحان الله الله حمدا لله 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 الله يا برهان الله يا سلطان الله يا غفران الله يا سبحان الله يا سبحان الله سبحان الله الله حمدا لله الله سبحان الله الله حمدا لله الله سبحان الله الله حمدا لله الله سبحان الله الله حمدا لله